And welcome back. As we commence with the second half of tonight's program, it's my pleasure to welcome back our friend and longtime guest and colleague, Mr. Jordan Maxwell, certainly one of the world's foremost experts in the field of the occult and a biblical scholar of high repute and internationally recognized expert on the religio-political conspiracy and power mechanism which keeps much of this world in livery. Hello, Mr. Maxwell.
Hello there, Jeff. Good to be with you again.
Well, thank you. It's nice to hear your voice, as always. And last time you were here, you had just come back from England and had a most interesting trip over there.
Yeah, I was very, very surprised, especially at the kind of reception that I got there. It was very overwhelming. I mean, it was very rewarding because I got a lot of good response and people wanting me to come back, which I think I'm probably going to be going back in the late spring for a tour in London and doing quite a few shows there. So hopefully that's going to happen because I've been talking with the people this very week about doing some shows there. So I was very happy with the way everything went there. And the subject that I'd like to talk about tonight is something I feel very, the subject is very close to me because I've been involved for many, many years in this one subject, and now it seems to be the subject, and that is the end times, the last days, the new millennium coming. And
whether we wanted to or not.
Yeah, whether we're ready or not. But I feel very strongly that the Christian world has misunderstood this entire story and consequently has a terrible fear about the future, when required is to just understand what the terms and the words mean and then know something about the religious and political establishment and how the church has promoted this hysteria for what I believe are political reasons, and then you will begin to see how this whole story has been totally blown out of proportion and does not mean what we thought it meant at all. I do not believe that this is the end of the world. Although in the Bible, in there are many different places in the King James where the Bible talks about the end of the world, but we'll talk about that later, how the word world was mistranslated because the King James Translating Committee was made up mostly with Freemasons and Rosicrucian translators. And one needs to understand that the terms and the words in both the Old and New Testament, you need to understand what these words mean and not misunderstand or misapply, you know, in our modern day speech, what was being said. And I think this is exactly what has happened with this whole subject of end times and the last days, because the Bible expressly says that there is an end to the age. We even have Pat Robertson in a book that he has out now talking about the end of the age. Go into any good bookstore, any good Christian bookstore, and look up the word end times or end of the world, and it will tell you that it is a mistranslation. The word is not world. There is no end of the world. The word is a Greek word, aeon, which simply means end of the age. And so we're talking about a period of time, a dispensation. It's a calendar event. We talked about that the last time I was on, that this whole thing about the Christ coming back, the kingdom, all of this is in point of fact, a calendar event. It's an astrological calendar event. It has nothing to do with a man that is going to come back in the clouds and save the world from itself. In point of fact, the scriptures show clearly, when you understand the words, that it is a time period which is ending, and that this new millennium will begin a new dispensation or new era or a new age. And that's what the Bible has been talking about from day one.
Well, there is
no end of the world.
All right. Now, speaking of what it's been talking about from day one, what did it talk about 1,000 years ago in the year 999?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Bible didn't mention that in particular, or at least I'm not aware that it was mentioning that particular year, but the same kind of misunderstanding and hysteria, was prevalent then, as it was even 1,000 years before that. At the end of a 1,000-year period, when the next millennium is beginning, there's always going to be a frenzy of fear and misunderstanding. And then a few years, 100 years into the new millennium, when everything has quieted down and the world is the same as it's always been, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, and we're all still slaving away for the masters of the behind the scenes, then it finally occurs to us that nothing has changed, everything's the same, it's just the business. And this is why I feel so strongly that we should understand what the words and terms that are being used and bandied about right now throughout Christendom. We are misunderstanding the story that's in the Bible. I think it's a very fascinating and interesting story, and I think it has some very legitimate things to tell us about the time in which we're living. But there is no end of the world, and I do not believe that someone is coming back to save us as such. But in fact, the New Testament is an astro-theological story. And until and unless you understand it correctly, you're never going to see the wisdom that's encoded in the New Testament. So what I'm saying is that this whole idea of a end of the world is a misunderstanding. The word is not world. The word is aeon, which is correctly translated age. It's an end of a time period. It's an end of a millennium. It's an end of an era. And then we will begin a new 2,000-year period, which will take us into a new dispensation, or God's kingdom, the next kingdom.
Why 2,000 years, Jordan?
Well, because each one of the constellations of the zodiac, because, as I said, the zodiac dominates the Old and New Testament. This is why Jesus was said to have had 12 disciples. He had 12 disciples because he was God's son. And we go back to the whole idea of the sun, S-U-N, having 12 followers, of the 12 religious followers, are the 12 months of the year. So all of this is a metaphor for something very, very interesting.
And when you pick up a carton of eggs, that metaphor lives, doesn't it?
It does.
All right. Be right back with Mr. Maxwell in just a couple minutes. Welcome back. Talking with Jordan Maxwell, who is one of the true scholars, talking about occult issues, the Mason secret government, and relating it all to biblical scholarship. Jordan sent me a fax today. Actually, he sent me a small novel today. And all his references. You have more research material on tap than most people. And
I've got over 150 legal-sized bank boxes in storage.
Hmm.
Plus about 25 legal-sized bank boxes in my office. In another garage, I've got about that much more in books stored. I mean, I have materials I've been collecting for years and cross-referencing reference materials. There's just an awful lot of information out there. You know, the truth is out there, but you have to dedicate yourself to look for it. You've got to do the research.
Right. I keep seeing the word on many of these pages, Mazaroth.
Yes, yes.
And obviously that's an important word.
Very, very important to the subject tonight. The word Mazaroth appears one time in the Old Testament book of Job, Job 38, 31 and 32. And the word Mazaroth is a Hebrew word for the zodiac. And consequently, the Bible has God asking Job, where were you when I created the Pleiades? And the different constellations, the Bible names the different constellations there at Job 38, 31, and 32. But it also talks about the Mazaroth. And as I said, Mazaroth is a Hebrew word meaning the zodiac. Now, many people, many Christians will immediately jump to say that astrology is of the devil, it's evil, etc. And we know because the Bible says so. Well, in point of fact, let me explain something about theological history that most Christians are totally unaware of. Follow this logic. Today we have in our country alone major religious institutions that claim themselves to be Christian. For example, the Mormon Church, Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, Worldwide Church of God, plus the great Protestant movements and the Catholic movement. And then, of course, we have lots of smaller, little Christian groups and cults and sects and whatever. But in the ancient world was the same, because the more we change, the more we stay the same. In the ancient world, there were major movements. One was the solar cult, or the worshippers of the sun. One was the lunar cult, or the worshippers of the moon. Another was a stellar cult, and the stellar cults were probably the oldest. They were the ones who found God and knowledge of the God in the stars. And then there was the, of course, the sexual cults and the Saturnalian, or the cult of the planet Saturn, and we find that a lot in America. And our legal institution is the cult of Saturn. And then there was the there was quite a few other cults and groups in the ancient world, especially, as I said, major divisions and major cults like the solar, lunar, the volcano cults, the Saturnalian cults, and each one, of course, thinking that they had the correct understanding. They had the truth, and everyone else was wrong. Well, the same thing, as I said, we still have that same kind of a situation today.
Oh, and cults are proliferating all over the world. In Italy last year, and I read a story three, 4 months ago, there were over close to 70 new cults that were officially recognized in Italy by the government that tracks such.
Wow. And it's just amazing how many people there are who are giving their life and their belongings, their material possessions, and their time and their money to religious movements, cults, organizations, fraternal orders, etc., and having no idea in the world where the words or the terms come from, what the history of not only the modern day movements that they're a party to, but where the whole idea of the worship of God came from, how it developed, all of these subjects are just totally not discussed publicly. And this is why so many cults are proliferating today all over the world. But going back to that idea that the major cults of the ancient world were like the major cults of the modern-day world. And consequently, the Hebrews were involved in the Hebrew history. Since we're talking about the Bible, we're talking about the Old and New Testament, the history of the Hebrew people was that they were worshipers of different they got themselves involved in different cults at different times. At one time, they were, and most of the Old Testament was involved with the Stellar cult, or the cult that learned about God and connected themselves with the divine through the stars, which we would roughly today refer to as astrology. And then at the time of Moses, the Israelites under Moses, Moses was the leader of a lunar cult. The lunar cult, all the worshippers of the moon.
How do we know this? Do we have certainty in ancient texts that this was the case?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Okay. There's no doubt about the reference books. Even Hebrew reference books talk about the time of Moses being under and dominated by the lunar cult.
Lunar cult, okay.
Yeah, the lunar, all the worshippers of the moon. And mm-hmm. This is why, incidentally, why Genesis 1:1, when in the Hebrew tradition, the day begins at the evening. It always begins from the evening to the evening, begins the day. So day begins in the evening, not like the solar cultures who begin their day at sun up. The Jews begin their day at sundown. And the reason why is because of Moses. Moses, that's when their God came out, is at sundown. So consequently, you begin your day when God comes into the picture, and that's when the moon comes out, is after sundown. So therefore, even the idea of the creative days, began from sundown to sundown. It was the evening and the morning of the first day, and the evening and the morning of the second day. So that's why the Hebrews have their holy days after sundown, because it goes back to Moses, and Moses was the leader of a lunar cult. Now, before that, as I said, the Hebrews were involved in the Middle East, the ancient Middle East, and I'm talking about Samaria, Phoenicia, Cana, Hittites, Babylonia, Arcadia, all of that ancient time, and all those ancient peoples were very much concerned about the stellar cult, or the worshippers of the stars, from which we get astrology. And then, especially in Egypt, did the solar cult begin to really flourish under Pharaoh Akhenaten, who said that he was going to initiate a new theology, a new religion. And, of course, the Hebrews were in Egypt at the time. And he worshipped Amun-Re, the sun. Amun-Re, or Amen-Ra, which is where we get the word sun-Re. And
amen.
Yeah, and amen. At the end of the prayer, you say amen. Why? Right. Because the God's Son, the light of the world, our risen Savior, was called in Egypt Amen-Ra, or Amen-Re. Now, all of this becomes very interesting when you begin to realize this is why Moses was said to have come down from the mountain and found the children of Israel worshiping a golden calf and became irate and broke and threw down and broke the law. It's because the children of Israel before Moses were living in the that 2,000-year period before Moses began a new era or a new age, a new dispensation, a new law under Moses. Well, 2,000 years before, they had been under the stellar cult, worshippers of the stars, and that 2,000-year period that was previous to Moses was called the age of Taurus, the bull, which, of course, in India today, the bull or the cow is still a sacred symbol in India because India was dominating the world's theology at the time, 2,000 years before Moses. So the children of Israel were worshiping the stars in the age, and the sun, in the age of Taurus the bull, or the golden calf.
Mm-hmm.
Then Moses comes into the picture and now inaugurates a new 2,000-year period, a new dispensation, a new age, so to speak. And that new age was going to be the age of Aries the ram. So now you have the Hebrews blowing the ram's horn, the the shofar, or the ram's horn, in honor of the sun, which is rising in the new age of Aries, the ram. And after that 2,000-year period is done, comes the next constellation in the zodiac, which is Pisces, or the two fish. Now you have the inauguration of what we today call Christianity, with the coming of the new religion of the age of Pisces, which follows backwards. It follows Aries. So the children of Israel worshiping the golden calf was nothing more than sun worship and the old stellar worship of the stars or the astrological signs. And then, as I said, Moses inaugurates a new 2,000-year period on the Aries, the ram. And, of course, now we have Jesus inaugurating the next one, which is the age of Pisces. And now we're getting ready to go into another 2,000-year period, the age of Aquarius.
Coming soon to a planet near you. And we'll be right back with more. Your calls as well, 1-888-ON-RADIO. That's 888-ON-RADIO. My guest, Jordan Maxwell. And Jordan, think about this. How many of the other world's religions are keying on this millennial idea, if any? And we'll discuss that and much more as we continue. Don't forget to visit the website at sightings.com. There for you 24 hours a day. It's pulling now over 4 million hits, total hits a month. Thanks to you. Be right back. Hour number three already with Jordan Maxwell. I'm Jeff Rentz, coast to coast and around the world live on the internet in Portland, Oregon, listening on KOTK is Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hello?
Your turn, Michael. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi. Yes, I was wondering if Jordan had ever seen a documentary called, I believe it was End of the World Remembered.
The End of the World Remembered.
Yes.
You may not have the name right.
Okay. Well, the theory that is put forth in this video is that the planets in ancient times used to move on a more erratic course, and they suffered near collisions with planet Earth.
Yeah.
And this was recorded in the ancient mythologies. And the doomsday fears that we have now are kind of a resurgence of this old collective memory.
That is called Remembering the End of the World.
Oh, sorry.
That's what the documentary is called, and it with remarkable computer enhancements and graphics shows how some of these planets may have moved into position to cause major catastrophic incidents between the planets. Am I correct?
Yes. Hello.
Jordan, you're there. Michael, are you still there?
Yes.
Does that sound like the documentary you're alluding to?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Okay, all right. Michael is asking Jordan if you had ever seen the documentary called Remembering the End of the World. And
not only have I seen it, yeah. I am a media liaison for the Cronio Communication Group that made it. I'm a principal in the organization.
That's right. That organization is headquartered right in Portland, by the way.
That's right.
And Dave's been a guest on the program. Tell us about his work a little bit, Jordan.
Oh, yes. Dave Talbot. Dave Talbot, and the company is called Cronio Communication Group. Cronio Communication.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a large group of physicists, astrophysicists, scientists, who are dealing with catastrophe, ancient catastrophe, Velikovsky-type information viewed in a new and modern view of the work of Velikovsky and those like him, looking at how did our solar system get to be the way it is today, and could it possibly have been very much different, say, 7 to 10,000 years ago? Maybe Mars was not where it is today, because we're so used to thinking that we go out, look at the stars, and we know that the stars and the universes are, you know, there as they have always been for thousands of years, and that may be true, but that does not necessarily mean that the particular planets in our little particular solar system have always been where they are today. And it begins to look like, with this tremendous work of the Chronia Communication people, the scientists affiliated with it, that there was some extraordinary catastrophes took place not too long ago in actual history, 7,000, maybe 5,000 years ago, maybe as much as 10 to 15,000 years ago, that would have changed the whole superstructure of how the solar system operates today, that maybe Saturn was much closer to the Earth and would have been an enormous, you know, in the sky to be seen by the Earth. And maybe Mars could have been far, far closer to the Earth than what it is today. And so there's just an awful lot of new. And I feel very inferior dealing with the subject, because the scientists who are associated with the Chronia are just top of the line people, and they would be so much more, you know, easier to explain this kind of thing. But it's a fascinating study of how our solar system has changed. And
or might have
recently,
changed. Might have changed. Yeah.
And I'm sure there has been some kind of an evolution in the entire you know, creation and the entire universe. We know that there is new stars being born and you know, galaxies moving all around. So it's just an exciting.
Well, the basic premise of the video, as you remember, Michael, is that worlds in collision, the Velikovsky theory, may have changed the configuration, the orbital mechanics of our solar system drastically in the not-too-distant past. And it would explain a lot of things. David Talbot really put together a remarkable hypothesis, and it's well worth pursuing. Anything else, Michael?
Well, just one other thing. If I remember correctly, they actually put forth the theory that the atmosphere of Mars was actually pulled off of it, and I think a close encounter with the planet Earth, and that this was the myth of the Great Flood. It was actually this event recorded in ancient mythology.
Right. Well, and as Dave Talbot made quite clear, all, and Jordan knows this, all ancient religions on Earth, in fact, all religions have the myth of the great deluge, the catastrophe, the cataclysm.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael.
And another thing that David was bringing out, these scientists have been talking about, is these jagged configurations on Mars look like possibly great streams or rivers or whatever could have happened.
Well, there's that one massive gash right across the, it's almost near the equator on the backside, I guess, as we commonly look at it. And it looks as if, according to David Talbot, it could have been done by a huge discharge of some kind of electricity ripping out of the surface of the planet. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, well, you've seen what lightning can do on a very small basis. I suppose that the planets moved so close to each other that there was some sort of a huge electrical discharge, and it would have cut gashes in the surface of Mars.
It's so wild.
Fascinating subject.
David is standing by, also in Portland, listening on KOTK. Hi, Dave. It's your turn to talk to Jordan. Go ahead.
Oh, this is Babe.
Babe, I'm sorry. I got
That's
Dave.
All right. No problem.
Welcome back, Babe.
I'm glad to talk to you. By the way, your analogy about the rug, and you push it up against the wall, and I agree with you totally.
Well, thank you. It's always bothered me.
And your guest, I'd like to hear his response to about two or three little quick things. One is Nostradamus.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, this what seems to me like a war between the French and the Germans, you know, where they have this fixation on the moon and the sun. And then also, how does this subject matter that he's speaking about tonight square with the Native American idea of spirituality? And I'd like to listen on the air if I can, Jeff.
Sure, babe. Go ahead.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, the last one first, because I don't...
Jordan is there.
Yes. The Native American spirituality is very, very interesting, and that a lot of the things which we read in the Bible about the times that we're living in As of course you know, the Hopis have talked about, and other, even the Aztecs and the Mayas in Central and South America and Mexico
mm-hmm.
have their prophecies about catastrophic times ahead, etc., and prophecies about a coming new a new dispensation. As a matter of fact, the 2000, and I'm not an authority on this, but the Aztec and the Mayans talked about a new age or a new dispensation, which was coming about 2010 to 2012, something like that, an end to the calendar, and it was not an end to the world, it was an end of a time period. And again, I go back to that word in the Hebrew, Maseroth, which simply meant the zodiac. So what I'm saying is I am totally convinced that the Old Testament has a lot of information about the zodiac, and in the New Testament itself is just replete with the whole story of astrotheology. I mean, the very idea that the Messiah is referred to as the Sun, God's Sun, the light of the world, and he is referred to as coming back. He would return. He walks on water. Just as you have seen him leave on a cloud, he will return on a cloud. And then when we read scriptures like, in my Father's house are many mansions, and you discover that that's not the correct translation of the New Testament, it does not say, in my Father's house are many mansions. That's a misunderstanding. What it actually says is, in my Father's abode are many houses. And, of course, in the Father's abode would be the heavens, and there are at least 12 houses of the zodiac in the heavens. So in my Father's abode are many houses of the zodiac. And then when we remember in Luke 22:10, when the Messiah, or God's Son, is asked, where are we going to go now with this last Passover in the age of Pisces? Because Jesus inaugurated a new age at the end, as we talked about before, at the end of the age of the Aries, or the blowing of the ram's horn of the Hebrews, the next constellation in the signs in the zodiac was the age of Pisces, or the two fish. And consequently, Jesus feeds the followers with two fish, and he becomes known as the great fisherman. And so the fish becomes a symbol for Christianity, because Pisces is the two fish. Now we are at the end of the 2,000 year period of the age of Pisces, and now we're going to begin the new dispensation, a new time period, or a doing it again, a new 2,000 year period again. And now we're going to go into the new age of Aquarius. And this is why, as I said in Luke 22:10 in the New Testament, the followers of the Son ask, where are we going to go after this? And he said, go into the city, and you will meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. Go into the house of the man with the water pitcher. And that's Aquarius.
And on that note, we'll take a break, come back. I have emails coming in now. If you want to email a question for Jordan rather than call, you can do that. I'll try and pick them up, EOTL@west.net. Otherwise, you can call us at 1-888 on radio, and we'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Jordan Maxwell. I'm picking my way through the email here. Let's see. There's one that sort of dovetails with what you've been talking about. Could you ask Mr. Maxwell if there is any evidence or symbolism of the ages of Gemini, Cancer, in cults similar to the ages of Taurus and Aries?
I don't recall any at the moment, because Aries, as I said, just preceded this 2,000-year period that we've just gone through. And before that was Aries for 2,000 years, and then before that was Taurus. I don't recall right now anything earlier than that. No, I don't recall anything
okay.
like that.
All right. Someone has asked me to read a passage from the Bible to you, a short one, and
oh, sure.
comment on it.
Yeah.
It's 2 Peter 3, 3.
2 Peter?
3:3.
Okay. 2 Peter 3, 3.
Here's what it says.
Okay.
Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of Christ's coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years.
How much longer do we go on this?
3 more lines.
Oh.
Do you know this?
Oh, do I know it? You know?
Well, go ahead.
I'm just saying that you said one scripture, and now you're reading the whole chapter.
Well, see, I'm not...
No, I know that. I know
...as literate in this field as you are.
No, I know that. I'm just saying that I know what the person wanted, the point the person was making. I know the point being is that I seem to be scoffing at the coming of the Lord, and consequently this was a warning to me to beware of scoffing at the Lord. I know that that's what the person was mentioning that scripture for.
Okay.
In point of fact, I'm not scoffing at anything. I'm an intellectual, and I'm trying to discuss the words, the terms, the actual words that are in the Bible. And the word is Masoroth, and we know without a doubt that the entire New Testament is a beautiful story, but encoded in that story is astral theology, or the study of the stars. And of course, the book of Revelation is just crammed filled with the symbolism of astral theology and star worship, etc., and sun worship.
Now, you said something interesting. You mentioned the word encoded, and that brings to mind the big flap last year about the Bible code and all that. As a scholar in this field, what do you make of all that?
Well, I don't really feel called up. I mean, I don't feel qualified to really, because I've got the book, and I was kind of interested in it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
There may be something to that, but I doubt it. But I'm not that much of a scholar on that particular subject. Although I do know this for a fact, that in the Old Testament, in the original Hebrew, not in the King James or in our modern translations, but in the Old Testament Hebrew original, there is a very profound many codes. Like, for instance, all of the men in the Old Testament, original Old Testament, all of the men's names is a number. You add them up, and it's divisible by 7.
Mm-hmm.
All of the women's names added up are divisible by 7. And there are many, all of the cities added up, I believe, is divisible by 7. It goes on and on like that.
Too much to be a coincidence.
Yes, far too much to be a coincidence. So I place a very, very high respect on the scriptures. I am not an atheist. I have always tried to explain myself as not being an atheist. I'm not antagonistic toward the divine. I have a high respect for spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
But I also can read. And consequently, if you do the kind of research I've done for many years, you will begin to see that the words and the terms are telling you quite a different story than what the church has given you to understand. And that's why I'm very concerned about all of the hysteria which is now gripping the Christian world about the time of the end and the end times and the last days. when actually the last days is nothing more than we're living in the last days of a 2,000-year period. Each one of the constellations of the zodiac was said to last for a little over 2,000 years. The sun would last a little over 2,000 years at each one of the constellations of the zodiac. And so for the last 1,999 years, our sun at the equator has been rising in the age of Pisces, or the symbol of the two fish. And if you go to Europe and in England, if you go to Europe, England, France and Germany especially, and see the symbols in the churches, you will see the two fish, and mm-hmm. the words are in the stained glass.
Mm-hmm.
Stained glass, it says Pisces.
Okay.
And so, it's not something that's new. This is maybe new to some of the listeners, but this is a very old story. And therefore, if each one of the constellational ages, aeon, is a little over 2,000 years long, then, of course, we are living in 1999, so we're almost at the end of the age, or the dawn of a new age of Aquarius.
And we're at the end of this segment, and approaching the dawn of our next. We're going to pause, come right back. 1-888 on radio, if you'd like to ask Jordan a question or make a comment, give us a call, and we'll be right back. All right, we're back with Mr. Maxwell, and let's take some calls and see what you folks have to say tonight. James in Santa Barbara, listening on News Radio 990 KTNS. Hi, James.
Excuse me. Good evening, Jeff.
Good evening.
Okay, on the contrary to the hysteria this gentleman says the Christians are going through, the Bible-believing Christians welcome this period because it is prophecy fulfilled,
mm-hmm.
and it's God's promises kept that His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is returning and to return to His Father's children to where they were intended to be in the first place. There's no hysteria. We welcome this period.
So it's
for the Bible-believing Christians.
Mm-hmm. So you see it as a circle closing. It's appropriate, and it's not a problem.
Exactly. It's just as His promises have mm-hmm. been kept to this point already. There's no reason to believe that the promises not yet will be kept also.
Okay. All right, Jordan, comment?
Yes, but I challenge all Bible-believing Christians to go to any seminary and spend years in a seminary library, as I have, and do some research on the word Maseroth. Do some research on Genesis 1:14, where God says in Genesis 1:14 that He gives the stars as signs. And you will find, if you spend hours looking up that word signs in Genesis 1:14, the word is in Hebrew is horoscope or zodiac. Yeah. And if you'll spend some more time looking up all the reference works on Maseroth, you will see that Maseroth means the zodiac. And then you will begin to understand, look up astrology, astrotheology, and the reference libraries of the seminaries, and you will begin to see a whole story unfolding in front of you that begins to tell you the real story of the New Testament. The reason why Jesus is referred to as God's Son is because it is the S-U-N. It is sun worship. Christianity is, in point of fact, the old ancient solar sun worship of God's Son, the risen Savior, and of course that's what the sun does, is rise.
Jordan, was there a man named... Yes, let me ask Jordan the question here. Was there a man named Jesus Christ, in your opinion, after all of your study?
I would say that there was probably a man named Jesus, but his name would not have been Jesus, because Jesus is a Greek name. It would have been Yahushua.
Understand.
And the Jews are aware of a Yahushua ben Pindera, but he lived about 100 years before the one in the Bible would have lived. Now, we know about the birth and the death of many important people 2,000 years ago, but no one has any idea when this man we call Jesus was born or died. No one for sure knows anything about the birth or the death. The only thing that we have is within the what is in the Gospels, and the reason we have four Gospels, the early church father said the reason why we only have four Gospels, when we could have had as much as 25, is because there are only four seasons in the year. The entire story of the New Testament is a retelling of an old ancient story called astrotheology, or the old astrological story coming out of the old Sumerian, the Babylonian, Phoenician, Canaanite, Egyptian cultures, brought into the Greek culture, then transferred into Rome, and finally into Western Europe, and now it's in America. It is the oldest cult, and one of the oldest cults in the world is the old Solar, or the worshippers of the God Sun, the risen Savior.
All right, let's hear from James now. James, go ahead.
Well, you mentioned horoscope and astrology continuum, and that's nothing new. Most people that have studied the Old Testament knows of the existence of astrology. But remember, modern astrology is a diverted, contaminated version of what was originally put out that God intended.
Well, then you would agree that that there was an original astrology.
That's
that
right,
was
but not as we
devil.
See not as we see today. And remember also, God's children weren't not intended to be intellectuals.
Well, that's
Christianity cool. is based on faith.
All right, let me
on
ask
the contrary,
that.
Heaven is not going to be full of intellectuals. Probably hell will have more intellectuals than heaven will.
Yeah. Well, let me say, if you were on trial for your life.
Pardon me?
If you were on trial for your life and your attorneys were picking your jurors for your trial,
right.
Would you want jurors that come in, prospective jurors that come in and say, I already believe this man to be guilty? You cannot be on a jury if you will say that you already know in your heart
you're
and believe that
men.
A person is guilty.
You're speaking of man. We're talking in a different context.
No, I'm talking about the concept of believing something before you have heard the whole of a matter.
Christianity is based on faith.
I know that.
And the full word of God. And it also says during these times that will be full of deceptions and false teachers.
I know, but
that's for sure, James.
There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely agree with
you. But the only way you're going to be able to deal with deception and false teachers is if you do some research into the actual words and terms and the culture of the Bible to discern for yourself what is true and what is actually being said in the Bible.
Now, Jared, there are a lot of people who don't need to go to any more research levels. They're very happy,
and
they found their truth and their reality, and that's all that counts, and it may not be the right one.
And that's exactly what Christianity is based on, and not some intellectual investigation.
Okay, I get the point, James. Yeah.
By some person that apparently has a different view of the God that the Bible-believing Christians believe in. You're probably not believing in the God of Abraham and Moses.
Well, as Jordan has said before, and he has made no bones about it, he is an intellectual, he's not an atheist, he is a very spiritual person, but he is not a religious person in the strict sense, if I might speak for Jordan on this point. Okay, James, you've made a good point. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening and participating.
And the Apostle Paul said, I bear you witness that you have a zeal for God, but not according to accurate knowledge.
All right.
There are many other scriptures similar, saying that it's wonderful to be a believer, but it's even better to know for sure.
Well, I'll tell you, people without faith are quite often people adrift, as it were, as you will
know.
Doubt
about it.
All right, John in Portland, listening on KOTK. Hi, welcome to the program, John.
Hi, Jeff. I really love your show.
Thank you.
I'm reminded that so many people, intellectual people, they never want to hear or talk about anything that doesn't support their own ego. And when
I resent that because when I'm not talking about
Excuse me, let me finish.
George, hold on. Let's let John
finish.
Try not to get heavy on the insults, John. Make a nice, fair statement, and let's let Jordan respond to it.
When you were talking earlier about the Bible code, Jordan seemed to sort of pass it up and say that you doubted any of it was true. I read the book, and I don't necessarily believe it, but I don't think that what it says, what the author, Dornan, I think his name was saying in the Bible code, is any harder to believe than anything that you've pointed out about the origins of Christianity.
John, hold on right there, John. We have to pause. Please hold. We'll come right back and pick it up right there. Okay. We're back, and John is on the line from Portland. Go ahead, John. Restate that real quickly, as briefly as you can.
I will.
With a comment from Jordan.
Sure.
Thank you.
First, I want to apologize if I sound a little negative. I didn't mean to. This is a nice show. I don't ever want to sound like that.
Not a problem.
Okay. I was only saying that... it just seemed that your guest seemed to put away really quick the idea of the book you mentioned, the Bible Code, when anybody who's read that book could say, you know, I've been listening to the show for a while. All of these opinions, I don't see how somebody can arbitrarily come up with their idea and say that just because you've studied the origins of the texts and the origins of Christianity in the New Testament and the Old Testament, that you can say that your point of view is right, because there are so many different things. And I feel sorry for you if you really think that you have found some special key that you figured it all out.
You feel that you have found it, because
I haven't found it. That's my point. I haven't found it. I haven't found it.
Why are you condemning me? Because I'm saying that I have found something of value that I want to share.
Well, I'm not condemning you. I just don't think it's possible.
All right, look at
it's an awfully big subject.
That's right. That's my only point. I just think, I really think that it's impossible to find one key.
Well, there's probably room for everyone, is the way we look at it.
I'm sorry, maybe I'm a defeatist. And more power to you. Maybe I should say it. More power to you if you've found and you believe in it. Maybe I'm jealous.
Well, no, I don't think you need to go that far. It's a fair statement that you made, and that's what the program's all about. And
I'm frustrated because it's really hard. I've studied Christianity for years and years, and I've come to the conclusion that there is no one answer.
I don't find fault with that. I'm just offering what I have been able to find after 35 years.
These are the best results of Jordan's study. Jordan, would you like to send John any material or anything like that?
I would be happy to have, as a matter of fact, I need to say that I would be happy to send everyone.
I know Jordan well enough to know he's always very interested in discussing this with people, and he'll yield.
I have always. And there's no other reason why. Let me also say, John, the reason why I backed off of the Bible code, what I actually said was, is I did not to make an absolute statement on that subject.
You were clear about that. You're not familiar enough with the field to be able to give a final opinion on it.
Right, and then you said they might have found something, but I doubt it.
I don't know.
He doesn't know.
I don't know for sure.
It's a pretty amazing book. Really, when I read that, I thought, oh, my Lord, people are going to be going nuts about this book.
I haven't done that yet on the show, John, and I will at some point get to do it. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. Thanks, John, very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Jordan, let's give an address for people who'd like to write and get some material from you.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me give a phone number first.
Right.
You can call at any time, 24 hours a day, and I'll try and answer it during business hours. I'm here, and if not, then I'll leave a message. 818-757-0814. That's in Los Angeles.
818-757-0814. And, John, if you want to call in there and leave a personal message with a P.O. box or something, I'm sure Jordan will send you some of his more interesting material for your consideration. That's it. Thanks.
Let me also quote for you, Jeff, in the book of Ecclesiastes, coming after the book of Proverbs, in Ecclesiastes 1:18 has an interesting sentence. For in much wisdom there is much grief, and he that increases his knowledge increases his sorrow. And it says it the same way, from much wisdom comes much sorrow, and with much knowledge, more grief.
That's almost getting back to what James said about intellectuals, as opposed to those with faith. It's an interesting point. Annette, in listening to us on KRKO, she's on, where are you, Annette?
I'm here. Hi, Jeff.
Here. I knew you were there, but you're in Everett. Okay.
Oh, I'm in Everett listening to KRKO.
Good. All right. Welcome.
Yes. Okay, you've always had great shows, Jeff, and we're very grateful for them out here in Everett, believe me.
Thank you, Annette. Thank you.
Jordan, I've listened to several of your shows on Jeff's program, and I've always enjoyed it very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Now, I hope my question isn't, like, off the topic, but I'm seriously wondering what you think about some of us are truly worried about the New World Order going to use the Y2K chaos to declare martial law and take over. And, you know, some of us are truly worried about that. And I'm wondering what you think about that.
I think you have a very legitimate reason to be worried, and I'm glad you brought that up. Let me quote to you something that bothers me. This is a California state document, and I was going to comment on this, and you brought it up. California State, it's called the 11th Report, State Investigating Committee on Education, published in 1953. 1953, California legislature said this. So-called modern communism is apparently the same hypocritical and deadly world conspiracy to destroy civilization that was founded by the secret order of the Illuminati in Bavaria on May 1st, 1776. And that raised its hoary head in our colonies here at critical periods before the adoption of our federal constitution. I didn't write this. I'm reading it from the California State Senate.
Right.
Here's the point. The world revolution conspiracy appears to be so well organized as to be ever continuing and ever on the alert to take advantage of every opportunity presenting itself or that the conspirators could create, end quote.
Mm.
And so I'm saying that there are those orders, there are those people, there are those organizations, there are fraternal orders, secret societies, criminal organizations, etc., and exploiting orders of people that would take advantage of a legitimate situation to frighten the people into accepting a totalitarian theology or a totalitarian dictatorship. So I think you are very legitimately right in being concerned about how, you know, government and those who are behind government would manipulate us and frighten us as a people into accepting a new world order. I have very, very big reservations about that term ever since I've watched Adolf Hitler use it. And I've watched all the Nazis use that term, New World Order, so I'm very, very leery of anything that would collectivize the whole world under a totalitarian dictatorship. And I totally agree with you. I am also very concerned about it.
Everywhere you're looking at, the pieces seem to be assembling for this kind of potential. Will it happen? Nobody knows. Even the Communist Chinese want to have a television in every home within the next, I think it's 2 years. And they realize that the TV is the tool. That's
absolutely
the control mechanism.
No doubt about
so
it.
We shall see, Annette.
We shall see. I agree with you, Jeff. I think all these pieces are going into place. And what concerns me right this moment, and I won't take too much of your time, but it looks the things we're not hearing about Russia are the scariest. But no one really believes Yeltsin is in charge.
No.
In Israel, Netanyahu's not in charge anymore. And
nope.
Who knows if Clinton's in charge?
Well, let's hope not.
Let's hope not. But that makes some of the most either pivotal or powerful nations with almost no one in charge, and that concerns us too.
Well, I think that when you say no one is in charge, that may be accurate, but there certainly is a power structure in charge at the very highest levels.
Well, that's unfortunately probably true, Jim. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, I think it's the golden rule. He who has the goal makes the rules.
All right.
And that's what we've got here.
Indeed.
It's nothing more than the old feudal slave system coming back, Rome and the old world order of Europe, and there are slave states in the Middle Ages and the early Middle Ages and under Rome. It's coming back again. They have fine-tuned it, and they're bringing it back in style today, and it's called the New World Order.
New coat of paint, new marketing firm, and here it is.
It's the same old Nazism as we've had it, before, and it's coming again. And
it doesn't matter the labels are irrelevant. It's just power and control and greed, that's all.
That's Judy.
And Victoria, very quickly, Judy, we don't have a lot of time, and you're welcome to come on here. Are you still there?
Yes.
Good.
I had a couple comments, but I know time is very, very short. I think what's happening with all this garbage and everything coming, happening in the world is forcing our consciousness to raise very quickly so that we are soon going to be able to see through all this and lies will not be able to be in control anymore.
I sure hope you're right.
I think that's what's happening. But I was interested, I haven't heard you before, Jordan, I'm really pleased that you share so much with us. But what you just said a few minutes ago about Moses having ruling sort of in the last 2,000 years in Aries, and Jesus has been present in the last 2,000 years with Pisces, and I'm excited. I'm wondering if you know who the next being is going to be for Aquarius.
Well, watch the churches after the year 2000. I would say probably from the 2050 on. So it's going to be a while yet. But watch the churches begin to change the symbols. You will begin to see symbols changing in the churches very, very slyly and very slowly to a man with a water pitcher. Watch it. It will come just as it has come in each one in every age before. So, and I have two videos on this subject that I might as well plug before we go off the air, called Symbols, Sex, in the Stars. It's a 90-minute video and a one-hour video, part one and part two. And a book that goes with it, a very impressive and important book called Symbols, Sex, in the Stars. Any of this and all of this, you can call me anytime, 24 hours a day, 818-757-0814.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Well, thank you, Jeff, for having me on again.
You're welcome, Jordan, and thanks for presenting your scholarship and your views. And I know you well enough to know you're always interested to discuss and talk these things over with anyone of any faith, and you don't really seek to force anyone to come along with you, and you've learned things.
I learn things every day. I'm a truth speaker.
We had some great callers tonight. Thanks to all of you for calling in and participating. Agree or disagree, this is your living room forum for discussing all these things. We appreciate you very much. Thanks, Jordan. Good night.
Thank you, Bart. Bye-bye.
All right, that's it for our Tuesday show, and tomorrow night, Michael Lindemann will be here every Wednesday, always to face with the editor of CNI News, and John Greenewald. This is a young man in high school who has constructed one of the world's great websites full of remarkable government documents that have been released, some very recently, dealing with top-secret material. Maybe you hear that tomorrow night. That's it. Until then, good night, take care, stay warm, and good luck.